Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined by our Chair, Emmanuel Faubert, recording this podcast following our board meeting in Frankfurt. We also had some supplementary meetings earlier this month, so in this podcast we're going to discuss both the key decisions from those earlier meetings as well as the discussions we've had here in Frankfurt this week. And we're really in a positive mood today, following the supportive statement that was issued during our meeting this week by the G20 leaders in Indonesia, which is yet another signal of why our work is so important. So with that, first Emmanuel, perhaps you could outline why we held these extra meetings at the beginning of November and how they've helped us to clarify our thinking as we progress our refinements of these two new standards.
Well, thank you, Sue. Yes, happy to report on this. It was obviously new for the ISSB to actually meet in a digital manner and a short notice manner. And I was, as a chair, very pleased with both the preparation, the substance and the outcome of these meetings. Still us being a young board team here. We decided to hold those meetings because we were focused on maintaining the momentum and making significant progress, in particularly when it comes to interoperability discussions, with the subsequent announcement that we were able to make at the COP27, that we're working with the EU towards a framework for maximizing interoperability. So we had two items on the agenda. One was about scenario analysis, where we were really on the page of requiring scenario analysis as a way to enhance the quality of the analysis provided. But there was clearly an ask from the market that we would provide more guidance. So among the things that we have been deliberating about was to provide the ability for companies to refer to the great materials that are already being used, including the TCFD guidance materials on scenario analysis. I think that was one important aspect. We also discussed the scalability of that, and within the TCFD guidance, there is already very good tiers of beginners, advanced, and experts, in a way, approaches to scenario analysis, which we felt were really useful to refer to for the future. On the other agenda, we discussed in two parts the materials that the ISSB now governs, given the consolidation of the Value Reporting Foundation and CDSB, and materials of other standard setters that we are seeking to drive interoperability with. And I would like Sue describe what that other discussion was that we had in the supplementary meeting.
Sure. So, and for me, there was two important parts to the sort of so-called hierarchy discussion, as we call it, which was sort of the words we use and the materials that we refer to. And in terms of the words that we use, one of the things that the board confirmed was that we will require companies to consider the use of the SASB standards as a source of guidance, both to identify what sustainability matters to provide information about, and also as a source of materials to choose disclosures that would be appropriate to meet investors' needs. That's the only set of materials that at the moment we're saying must be considered by companies, and it's important to think about why we chose that for special attention, if you like. So the SASB materials are now materials of the IFRS Foundation following the consolidation, and what's really important about them for this purpose, to fill the gaps, if you like, in S1, is that they were designed with an investor focus and they are industry specific. And so asking companies to look at these is a really good way of ensuring that the information is designed to meet the investor needs, which is the focus of S1, and also we think it's proportionate because it's very focused on industry based materials, which we know is a very targeted way for companies to meet investors' needs. So that's the reason for that status, if you like, in the hierarchy. Then in terms of materials that we said that entities may consider to inform them in terms of identifying disclosures to meet investors' needs, we decided to refer to the CDSB's materials on water and biodiversity. So like the SASB standards, the CDSB materials are part of the IFRS literature now as a result of our consolidation with the CDSB. And we identified these specifically because they're a really useful framework to identify disclosures, particularly around biodiversity and water, which market feedback has already led us to decide is a really important focus for good disclosures about sustainability and an important area for information for investors. The discussion that we started but didn't complete was about expanding the range of materials that companies could use to choose disclosures as long as they meet investor needs, and whether we should refer to the materials of the Global Reporting Initiative, GRI, and the European Sustainability Standards, the ESRS standards, to meet these disclosure requirements. And so this, just to be clear, would be in circumstances where we don't yet have a specific set of ISSB disclosure requirements, so for topics other than climate at the moment. And why are we thinking about referring to the GRI materials and ESRS in particular? It's really to facilitate interoperability with those regimes. We don't want to preclude preparers from using disclosures that they may be using for other purposes, either because they have to, for example, for the ESRS, or because they choose to for GRI, to use these disclosures to meet information needs. And if those disclosures meet investor needs, the discussion was about whether it would be appropriate, from an interoperability perspective, to permit the use of those disclosures also to meet the requirements in S1. So as I said, we didn't make decisions on this last point. This is a really big deal for the board to expand the materials in S1 beyond those designed specifically to meet investor needs. So it'll be something we'll come back to. We started the discussion. For those of you who want to listen to the tape, I think there were a lot of different views from board members, which were interesting to listen to. And it has been really, I think, really important discussions that first week of November to really facilitate interoperability as we continue to work on delivering the global baseline for the capital markets. So with that, Emmanuel, let's focus on this week. Do you want to start off with what we did on the first day of our meeting here in Frankfurt?
Yeah, well, thank you, Sue. Yes. So let me start by day one. So day one, we discussed comparative information and updated estimates in S1, as well as digital taxonomy. On the first topic, we were here to clarify that the requirement to revise comparative information to reflect updated estimates applies to current period estimates disclosed in prior periods, not about forward-looking information when that is material. And that we also decided that we would provide illustrative guidance to support implementation. On the digital taxonomy, it was really interesting. That's not supposed to be a board decision, but we felt that it was an important yet decision to have at the moment where we are really starting the whole architecture. And therefore, we had actually a really engaged conversation about this, the taxonomy. The staff outlined the feedback on the need for a consistent global implementation and suggestions for the approach to the development. And I think there was really a consensus around the importance of interoperability with other digital taxonomies for us, which might actually inform the process of re-deliberation around taxonomy for the next several months, including probably most of H1 next year. The next steps are that the staff will take the feedback on board and advance the development of that taxonomy. The takeaway for me is really that the discussion was around how important all of this was. The need for digital and machine-readable reporting that would allow investors to access and analyze information efficiently. But also, as we said, the fact that it can be a useful enabler of interoperability, including with the few standards that you've just alluded to and on which we will continue to re-deliberate as we are progressing our interoperability and connection with them. So that was day one. What about day two?
So day two, on the agenda we had the timing of when the sustainability information prepared in accordance with our standards needs to be provided. We had a conversation about the information that we're asking for about the current and anticipated effects of sustainability risks and opportunities in the financial statements, and a discussion about the information about climate transition planning. And so on the climate transition planning, I'll start with that first. The feedback was really about confirming the disclosures that were proposed in the exposure draft, but adding some extra granularity. We suggested some additional information be provided. We confirmed that companies would be asked to explain which international agreement on climate that they are referencing when they're developing their transition planning, because there's different, or indeed whether they were using a national or a regulatory version of that, if it was relevant to their transition planning. We made a good set of decisions. We left one thing open, which was one very particular disclosure requirement, what exactly we're going to ask companies to explain when it comes to describing the alignment of what they're doing with these international or regulatory, regional agreements. So that's something that will come back for clarification to the board. Then if I look at current and anticipated effects on the financial statements, it wasn't a decision-making meeting. What we did there was really went through a list of examples, which I think were really interesting to illustrate the types of disclosures that we anticipate that companies may be required to provide about the effects of sustainability risks, including climate, in the current financial statements and the anticipated effects in the future. More discussion to come on that. So we sent the staff away saying, yes, these examples look great. There were a few suggestions on additional considerations. The staff will come back next with some suggestions on how we can really fine-tune the wording on when quantitative information would be required about the effects on financial statements and when qualitative information would be provided. And I think we also talked about how ultimately it could be good to have some illustrative examples to really draw out the sorts of disclosures that might be useful for investors. So more to come on that. And last but certainly not least, a really interesting conversation about when we require the sustainability information to be provided by companies. Those listening might remember that we proposed in the exposure draft that this be provided at the same time as the financial statements, because this connectivity between the information and the financial statements is really, really important. And it was really great to see in the feedback really strong support for that ambition of that alignment. And so the board agreed that the requirement should ultimately be to align the timing of the sustainability reporting that we require and the financial statements. But we acknowledge that we're in a huge change management process and there's a lot for companies to do to get set up and ready for this style of reporting. And so to facilitate that, the board agreed that we will provide some transition relief, so a period of time when we will allow later delivery of the sustainability report. We've asked the staff to build drafting around focusing on the first half reporting cycle as being the time for the annual sustainability reporting to be provided, and you'll have to watch for a future board meeting to see how long that period of relief is, because we're going to come back to that and decide the length of that short period of relief when we talk about the mandatory effective date. So I think all in all, Emmanuel, I hope you'd agree that the re-deliberations are going well. We're making good progress. The staff are doing a fantastic job guiding us through this really important re-deliberation process. We're still on track to finalise our key decisions around the end of this year, and we will be back in Montreal next month for our next board meeting in December, which will coincide with COP15 on biodiversity, and we're really excited that that gives us the opportunity to meet some of our stakeholders to discuss that really important topic alongside our board meeting. So with that, until next time, thanks for listening.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.